feeds us, and a thing that when we don't have, sucks the life out of us. Like it's really
fundamental to moving through life, for carrying on, for looking towards the future in a way that expects life and expects good things. I wanted to talk this morning a little bit about that. I'm not going to share for a really long time, but I just wanted to start something off perhaps this morning, perhaps to plant a seed, and maybe we can together start to be rolling out as the year moves forward what it means to be hope-filled people. Next week, we've got the junction. Next weekend, we're heading away to Shropshire to the wonderful Cloverleigh Hall, which I'm properly excited about. I always love the junction, but this year especially feels really good. Like, it feels like it's going to be a really great time. It's always a great time of friendship and spending time together, but it's also an amazing time to receive from God and to hear what's being said, to speak encouragement over one another and to slow down and to stop and to pause for a moment. And actually, that's the first one that was the first letter of the Pete Gregg acronym, the P of the PRAY, the pray, is to pause. And I feel like next weekend is going to be a really good time to pause and reflect and look forward as well, and to have a bit of a giggle and a laugh and some fun along the way, hopefully. Who's got a cabaret performance ready? Who's planning to do one?
Yeah,
cool. Oh, excellent. So we've got at least two. That's good. I suspect some more may come out of the woodwork closer to the time. But that's the wackier end of things. I'm going to play a short little clip from a podcast from a guy I quite like, who some of you may really dislike, I'm aware, called Russell Brand. I listen to his podcast sometimes, and I think he asks the best questions, and he has like some really awesome insights, and he interviews such interesting people. And I listened to this one like months ago now, but I was just reminded of it as I was looking at this, and I wanted to play it. He's interviewing a guy called Alistair McGrath, who some of you may have heard of, but yeah, here we go. Yeah. I don't know how many of you would agree that it feels a little bit like we're living in a part of the world where there's kind of a sense that the old promises are failing in a way. the things we are encouraged to put our faith in don't really seem to hold all of the answers. They don't really seem to cut it. They don't really seem to have followed through in their faithfulness. And yet there is this call, like core, right at the centre of what we're doing, of our belief, that of this thing that we're part of, this relationship with God, this family of God, this body of Christ, this church thing that says, hey, there's hope. Regardless of circumstance, there's hope. Regardless of what is going on around us, the freneticness, like the places that seem like, the things that seem like they're all doom and gloom, like, we have hope in a living God and in a Heavenly Father and in Christ Jesus, that there's something more going on, there's something deeper going on in our midst. And that's really profound. And I think almost as Alistair McGrath, the guy at the end, said, like, hope isn't the promise that everything will be okay, necessarily, or that things will get perpetually better, but it's that there is something meaningful going on and there is hope for transformation, and that there is a living God with us and alongside us, working with us and through us and in our midst. I don't know about you, how many of you sort of attempted at times to kind of find some sense of fulfillment in like a thing or like buying something new? I only this weekend, I haven't yet picked it up, but I bought a bike, and it was a sort of, it was something that I'd sort of thought about over a long period of time, but essentially it was like a bit of an impulse purchase, and it filled me with that enormous sense of like, wow, this is awesome, I love this thing, like, this is going to make my life incredible. And yet, I hope I'll enjoy it, but it's just a bike at the end of the day. Does anyone else ever get that sense with something that, yeah, this is going to make things all right, or at least it's going to make my life much nicer? And it might, for a bit. But this is like, this is life. This is the big project. This is where hope lies. And I'd say, like, this is a really exciting and good time to be asking these kind of questions. To be asking what it means to be a hope-filled people, and what it means to be human, and what it means to reflect God, to reflect the image of God. At a time when some of the ideologies and systems around us seem to be failing, they seem to be laid bare. When we start to realise that perhaps our fulfilment doesn't lie in the material, it's a good time to consider where hope lies. So yeah, I think we live in an age, as Russell Brown was saying, where new vision is required, new impetus and new direction to understand what it means to flourish as a human, which doesn't involve subjugation, exploitation, violence and destruction. But to ask, what does it mean to be unified with God, to be unified with creation and the rest of humanity? I don't know, have any of you ever read the book of Ecclesiastes? Yeah, how did you find it? A bit much.
Yeah.
A bit a lot. Ecclesiastes is genuinely, after spending a bit of time with it, one of my favourite books. I know that may come as a surprise, but it's awesome. Like it sort of goes through. It talks about the human condition. It talks about how. You can work every day, every hour of every day, put all your effort and energy into creating wealth and gaining power and gathering things, nice things around you. But the problem is that we all die at some point. And what is it then worth? I'm saying you can acquire all the knowledge in the world, you can study as much as you like, you can gather all the wisdoms, read all the philosophies, but it won't bring you life, necessarily. And right in the midst of all of these books, and it also says at times, like, it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. Tragedy befalls both, and it's doesn't seem like it makes much sense. And yet, in the midst of all this, there are calls in the middle of that book to kind of look up at the sun and feel the warmth of the sun on your face, to appreciate the people around you, your family and friends, to sit down to a meal and enjoy that meal in that moment. And the book ends saying, all of these things are worth thinking about and looking after and looking towards, but ultimately, all that's left is to love God and obey His commandments. And in some senses, that's a really freeing thing. As we go through this next bit of time, as we go through life, all that's really for us to do is to love God and love the people around us. It's great to look forward with vision to what we're doing and the next thing. But in the simplest terms, we're called to love each other and love God. And that's a really freeing thing. That said, I am really genuinely excited for this year ahead. This year is like, this year to me feels like a time of growth and potential and of just new life and a growing depth of relationship with God and with one another, a time to go deep in prayer and be courageous in stepping out into new life and stepping out into goals and dreams in those ways. This is a good year. I really believe this is a good year. I just want to pick up quickly on a couple of the bits that Kerry shared last Sunday. And she was talking about courage, about having more courage and going deeper and slowing down to go deeper. She spoke about how attention is our scarcest resource, and that actually people often talk about the fact that time is our scarcest resource, but actually it seems like our attention is our scarcest resource. Like where we put our focus and our heart and our mind and our body, where we are consciously, what the things we're thinking about and spending our time on, those are the things that consciously or unconsciously we've chosen to make the main thing. We've chosen those things, and whether we like it or not, they shape us and they transform us. So I would say let's make this a year where we focus our attention on God. We create space for God in every moment we're able to. If you need to set up something in the morning, a 5-minute slot for a quiet time, make that a thing. If you want to learn to pray, let's do that together. And actually, I think that would be worth looking at over the junctions, just how to pray in the simplest terms. how to become aware of the presence of God, how to turn my attention to God in my everyday. Maybe that first thing in the morning, that last thing at night, but also those slots during the day, those times during the day. Kerry spoke about the fact that the main danger in life of being a Christian, of following Jesus, is not that we somehow like give it up or chop it or turn away and forget it. It's that we're too busy. We're too busy to embrace it. We're more in danger of living at a surface level and skimming over life and skimming over relationships and things than renouncing my faith in Jesus. So maybe that requires living a different life, to look to Jesus and how to live that different life. I'm just reminded, as I was looking through this and reading over it and mulling it over it, the thing there was just a period of time in my life that occurred to me, and it was that came to mind. And it was a time when I worked for a company. It was an aviation company, and like in lots of ways, it was a really great job. I really enjoyed it. It sort of was quite interesting a lot of the time, and I really liked most of the people I worked with. But I had a very strange relationship with a boss who like was very changeable, and kind of one day would seem to think I was the best person ever, and the next day she seemed to think I was the worst thing ever. So that was very hard to get my head around and very hard to balance. And I found ways of coping, and I sort of got on with things, and I just sort of tried to avoid any sort of confrontation. I realized when I stepped out of that environment that I picked up habits and culture and ways of being that I carried into the rest of my life. And I carried into... I carried into the next work I was doing. Like, I was constantly expecting to have to defend myself or justify why I'd made the decision, or there was a sort of expectation that there was always someone to blame, and like we had to find who it was. And I'm sure all of us have experienced that in one context or another, in one form or another. There are sort of cultures and values that we pick up that dictate and unknowingly influence the way that we lead our lives. So I just want to encourage us and invite us to step out into good habits this year, to allow space for one another, to share stories, to cultivate healthy relationships. I don't know about you, but like I don't want to stand for dysfunctional relationships in my life. I don't want to stand for dysfunctional relationships in this place. Like, I want to see us like flourish and have grace and compassion for one another. I want to see us be people who are quick to encourage one another, quick to pray for one another, quick to encourage, and people who value depth and relationships and depth of relationship with God. People who look forward, hopefully, to the future. Does that make sense? I'm going to finish up here with a passage that comes from Ephesians. It was written by a guy called Paul to the church in Ephesus. And it's a stonker. It's an absolute corker of a passage. It's rammed full of awesome stuff. And it's just for me, like, it's a reminder of what we're doing, why we're here, why this is a good thing, why church is worth being part of, why God is worth pursuing, why Jesus is worth following. So you can maybe follow along if you want to with this, but otherwise just sit back and listen to this. And I'm going to read this. As I read this, imagine it's being read to us as a church. Imagine it's being sent. This letter has been sent specifically to us at this time for now. And just receive it. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And the reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope that which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe? According to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Ooh. It says midway through that passage, may you have a spirit of wisdom and revelation to come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened. That's the first prayer. The first prayer is to understand it, to really know what is the hope to which he has called us, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance and the immeasurable greatness of his power. Yeah. Father God, I pray in this next bit of time that we're filled, that you would give us the wisdom and the revelation and the capacity to understand how great is the hope that you have laid in us, that you have set before us in our midst. How great is that inheritance set before us? How good are you? How amazing are you? Yeah. Just pray, Father, that we are filled to capacity with your hope, that we continue to become hope-filled people, people who carry hope, who are drenched in hope, who are filled to the measure with hope of your goodness and your grace and your love. Amen.